Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Focus on Health, brought to you each week at this time by our friends at Van Deese Medical Center. Now, more than ever, their focus is you. We have something going on the next few days at Van Deese Medical Center. Joining me today, we have Lori Foster from Van Deese Medical Center on our show today, as always. So, Lori, very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, too, Pat. How are you today?
Well, fine. We survived Labor Day.
Yes, we did. It was a lovely weekend.
Yes, it was. Very nice weekend, and just back to business since this is kind of the unofficial start of fall, in a way, since everybody back to normal, I think.
It is unofficially true.
Yep.
But yes, it is. We're just kind of moving into fall gracefully.
Yes. We have some busy things going on at Van Deese Medical Center. We're talking about this Wednesday morning. So, Roy, what do you have to share with us today?
I do have a few announcements that I would like to make, Pat. Thank you very much. We did have our newest physician on the program last week with us. Dr. Elise Dewey is a new family medicine physician to Van Deese Medical Center and Van Deese Family Health Clinic. And she is delightful. And she has begun her practice, is getting busy. And some of her specialties that she shared during the program, obviously family-centered care, patients that suffer from diabetes, chronic medical conditions, the geriatric population. She enjoys working with our seniors and then has a very special spot for mothers and babies. And she, too, is a mother of young children and can relate very well to those moms. And so, again, wonderful to welcome Dr. Dewey to our team to schedule an appointment. You can call Van Deese Family Health Clinic here in Webster City at 832-7800. Also, and we're going to be talking more about this during our program, but September is National Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. In an effort to come together and raise awareness on this very sensitive topic, we will have an Empower Half Hour virtual education session coming up. It's going to be Wednesday, September 15th from 1 to 1:30. And you can join us live for the program virtually. If you just join our Facebook page, the Van Deese Medical Center Facebook page. But also it will be available to you. If you cannot join us right at 1 o'clock, it is out there on our Facebook page. And so you could watch it at any time. Mm-hmm. Our presenters will be our behavioral health therapists, Jane Hoffman and Anthony Wubin, who will be joining us for today's program. And they're going to be sharing, in addition to today, what we cover, a lot of information about warning signs of suicide, intervention options, and what's most important, those resources for people that are affected by suicide. So we certainly encourage you to join us. Again, that's Wednesday, September 15th from 1 to 1:30 on our Facebook page. And we do have a number of events, awareness events that are going on throughout the month of September. This week is actually the Awareness Week, and so we're going to be talking about this topic during our program today. But we do encourage people to join the staff at Van Deese Medical Center in wearing green this Friday, September 10th. It is World Suicide Prevention Day, and it's a way we can all very simply, just create more awareness for this very important topic. In addition, I do want to give just a brief update. I try to, as things really with our coronavirus pandemic become available, share with our listeners and with our general public. We've talked about those third doses of COVID-19 vaccine. This is for a very specific population of individuals who are immunocompromised. We have received some additional doses from public health, and so I encourage you to call your primary care physician if you fall into one of those categories and would be available to receive the third dose of the vaccine. It is also available not only at Van Deese Family Health Clinic, but other locations throughout Webster City and Hamilton County. You can call the clinic at 832-7800. And then also those booster doses. So these are booster doses for the general population that are interested in those. We're still awaiting to hear the approval and the plan for that. So once we know more information, we will share that with our listeners. In the meantime, we definitely encourage those practices, just public health safety practices to mask. We are universally masking at Van Deese Medical Center and in all of our facilities. Also, proper hand washing, to remain socially distanced, especially from people who are not within your immediate household, and then stay home if you are sick.
Have you seen an increase lately there, Lori, at Van Deese Medical Center of cases?
We are actually seeing an increase in the testing that we are doing. We're just seeing in general an increase of a lot of different viruses. Mm-hmm. But we have reopened our drive-through testing for patients because we are seeing prevalence. So that has been opened here in Webster City. And then we're also offering drive-through testing at our Fort Dodge Clinic.
I know very soon we'll have Shelby Kuhn the back with us talking more about what we can expect maybe to see now. We're in the heading towards autumn and winter, and people have got to get those vaccinations there, Lori.
That is correct. We definitely stress that if you have not received your COVID-19 vaccine, we do encourage vaccination. And flu season is going to be upon us. And so, again, we definitely encourage that people get the flu vaccine as well. So, yes. Mm-hmm. And we certainly hope to have updates as they become available from Shelby and from staff at Van Deese Medical Center.
Very good.
Yes. And then lastly, of course, I need to give a plug for our upcoming golf outing that's taking place Sunday, September 26th. It will be at 9 o'clock, Briggswoods Golf Course, and we're going to be playing 18 holes this year, and teams are signing up daily. All the information can be found on our website. If you go to www.vandeesemc.org, you could sponsor a team, you can sponsor a hole, and you can definitely register yourself to play right there online. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email me at lfoster@vandeesemc.org, or you can certainly give me a call at 832-7877.
Very positive news on that scale there, Lori.
Yes. Yes, we're excited to be able to offer that. And I should mention that all proceeds from that event will go to support direct patient care needs at Van Deese Medical Center.
Fantastic. So that's coming up 2 weeks from Sunday for the big golf outing there at Briggswood, starting at 9 in the morning.
That is correct.
All right. Very good. Now we get to our topic of the day with a couple of very dear friends. We have Patty Tribal Leeds, and again, we have Mr. Boobin joining us. So, Lori, take it away.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much, Pat. I'm very pleased to have as our guest this morning, as you mentioned, Patty Tribal Leeds, who is with Central Iowa Community Services, and Anthony Wubin, who is one of our behavioral health therapists at the hospital. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here today to talk about this very important topic. You know, I think we cannot get information out to our public enough about this topic, because everyone plays a role in creating awareness about suicide, suicide prevention, and just like we said, general awareness of this topic. So, you know, let's just start maybe with some general information, because, you know, if you're not really exposed to it, you don't realize the prevalence of especially suicide that's going around in our area in Hamilton County and throughout the state of Iowa.
Certainly. So if we want to actually look from more of a all 50 states perspective, mm-hmm. the CDC published that in 2020, 47,511 deaths within the states were due to suicide. So additionally, they also rank cause of death, and suicide is ranked within the states within the top 10 causes of death. And then when we kind of look a little closer toward home, when we look at mm-hmm. Iowa, in 2020, the state of Iowa had 536 completed suicides, which there is a nice graph that Iowa Department of Public Health does publish, and on there you can see a trajectory from 2000, which was just under 300 deaths, to, of course, the 536 that we saw in 2020. And then when we look at Hamilton County, so any suicides under five, the county does not represent within the total listing. So for almost 20 years, Hamilton County was not listed at all with any data. However, 2020 was the first year in the last almost 20 years where we did report five deaths due to suicide. And then once we look at cause of death, within the state of Iowa, suicide is in the top 10. It's actually ranks above diabetes and other chronic life conditions.
Which is quite surprising.
Right. So as far as prevalence, it's definitely there. And unfortunately, it's kind of the unspoken topic that we tend not to talk about or tend not to want to talk about. It's definitely something as Hamilton County residents, as Iowans, or even as citizens of the United States that we really need to grasp an understanding of how important this is and what we can do to help our friends, help ourselves, to ultimately try to address suicide.
Exactly.
I do. I think it, for some people, it's a lot of people, I should say, it's an uncomfortable topic, but considering what we've all been experiencing in the last really year and a half, it's really important to be talking about it this year because we know that people are experiencing more anxiety, more depression. People have been in. There's just a lot of general fear, and, you know, this really can kind of lead someone to think about this. And so there's a way in which we can all help. Maybe let's talk about some myths and facts about suicide. Maybe that's a great place to...
Definitely.
Yeah, we can talk about that because I think it's important that people understand what's kind of what the truth behind it is. I think a lot of people are they question, is this real? Is this not real? Is it truthful? Is it not truthful? But one of the things that I've done in my job is I've taught a course called Mental Health First Aid, and we teach people like public teachers, just general community on how to look, what to look for, things that they can ask, those kinds of things. And we always do a myths and facts about suicide in the training. And so I'm just going to read a couple things that you can ask if this is a myth or a fact. For one, if you ask a person about their suicidal intentions, you're going to encourage a person to kill themselves. Well, that is a fiction. That's not true. The opposite is true, actually. If you talk to somebody, you engage in conversation with them. A lot of times, the feelings that they're having at that moment will lower their anxiety level, and they'll be able to maybe tend to talk about it a little bit more. And just being there, just hearing them out, can help you to maybe get them to somebody for help if you can't help them. The second one is once a person is seriously considering suicide, there's nothing you can do. That's fiction also. Most suicide crises are time-limited. They're really based on unclear thinking. So a person attempting suicide, they're looking for a solution or an escape. They generally do not see any other way out. So it's pretty time-limited and based on unclear thinking. The third one is a person who attempts suicide will always be suicidal. That's fiction also. Most people who are at risk feel suicidal only for a brief period in their lives. And if we can give them assistance and support, the person will probably never be suicidal again. Number four, improvement following a suicidal crisis means that the risk of suicide is over. That's also fiction. I found this one to be very interesting because most suicides occur within 3 months after the onset of a period of improvement, when people actually have the energy to turn their suicidal thoughts and feelings into actions. We need to be very vigilant during that time, and physicians and family members should be watching. And number five, suicide happens without warning. I struggled with this one a little bit because usually you think, well, that's fiction. Studies reveal that a person who is suicidal generally leaves a lot of clues and warnings regarding their intentions. So really being alert to those cries for help, whether it just looks like somebody having a bad day over a period of time, just to be alert to that. And the last one is suicide occurs across all classes of people. That is a fact. Suicide is neither a rich man's disease nor the poor man's curse. Showing no class prejudice, suicide is represented throughout society. And I think we have seen that with celebrities. We've seen that with people that I know that have completed suicide. So it has it's no respect to a person.
No matter who you are, it's a problem facing everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. No matter what your background is.
Yeah, no matter what your background or your age is, too.
Exactly.
And so such key things to be sharing because sometimes it is just being that listening ear, being that supportive person in somebody's time of need that you maybe don't even realize, but just being present and attentive to people that find themselves, they may be in this situation. So, you know, you mentioned, Patty, like warning signs. So it's just perfect to just lead into that. Let's talk about some of those warning signs of suicide, because this is something, I mean, both of you chime in, we all need to be aware of and be watching and listening for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, of course, one of the most common ones is going to be, and probably one that is going to surface quickly, is just talking about wanting to die or not wanting to be around. They may be expressing a way of how they would like to kill themselves. Maybe talking about feelings of hopelessness or having no purpose here. Talking about feeling entrapped or being in unbearable amounts of pain. Talking about being a burden to others. Maybe they're increasing their use of alcohol or other illicit drugs. Acting maybe anxious, or they're far more reckless, impulsive. Maybe they're sleeping too much or too little. Either way can go on that one. And then withdrawing from or being isolated from others, maybe within their normal social group. Showing rage or talking about seeking revenge to others. And then the last one I kind of got here is displaying extreme mood swings. What else may you have, Patty?
Well, a couple other things. One of the things I think is important for us to be aware of is just talking or writing about it on social media. I think there's a lot more of that goes on than what we know. And to kind of, somebody asked me one time, what would you do if somebody was talking about it on Facebook or on all the other different
platforms?
I said, well, if I were I knew them, I would probably chat back to them and say, hey, I'm kind of bothered by what you're saying. What's going on? If I didn't know who they were, I may take it to law enforcement and turn it over to them and say, I'm concerned about this person they're talking about. So really watching that social media platform, that especially with kids that are talking on it.
That's a really good one there, Patty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Withdrawing from family, friends, and society. Sometimes it's normal for like an adolescent to withdraw from their family. When they're going through adolescence, you know, right. Mom and dad creeping on them all the time, or no wonder. But when they begin to pull away from their family, friends, and activities, and they don't replace it with another activity, that could be a real warning sign, especially for our kids. And like you said, having a dramatic change in mood, they could go from being very happy to very, very sad, and then from being very sad to very happy. So kind of watching for some of those warning signs, but yeah.
Great information, both of you. Thank you. As social workers, you both understand the importance of identifying individuals within their environments. What potential risk factors exist as we look at the whole person?
Definitely. So I guess when I think about it is we're stepping back and we're realizing what factors may contribute to someone maybe starting to feel this way or maybe going on within their life. And there are endless, we could stay here for days talking. But maybe they have an underlying mental health condition that's not being addressed. And so seeking that medical health treatment, maybe looking at some medication or some therapy could be easily addressed in those situations. As we mentioned earlier about the warning signs, maybe there's some alcohol or other substance use disorders that we've got going on. Just the feeling of overall hopelessness doesn't necessarily have something to look forward to. So definitely involving and getting that aspect could definitely help. Impulsive or aggressive tendencies is something that we may see. History of trauma or abuse. So this kind of ties in nicely with adverse childhood experiences. And as a child develops, all the things that we're exposed to ultimately kind of develop who we are as a person in our environment. Maybe there's a physical or chronic illness. Maybe there's history of family suicide, or they themselves have attempted suicide. Maybe they've lost a job or have financial loss, loss of a relationship, a boyfriend, girlfriend. Maybe they're going through a divorce. Maybe there's an easy access to lethal means. Maybe there's guns in the home or a friend has a gun or you know where they could get a certain medication that they could overdose on. Maybe there's a cluster of suicides. So if there's something that culturally within our community, there's a lot of suicides going on, that's kind of another risk that could potentially be going on. There is such a stigma on mental health, such a stigma on suicide and getting that help for these folks. So as we're doing today, trying to raise the awareness of suicide, raise the awareness of receiving mental health services, can definitely work to help that risk factor. Maybe a lack of health care, unable to access those means, which I know Vandius Medical Center, we work very closely with folks on if there is a delay there that we could help out with. Maybe there's cultural or religious beliefs that we need to take into consideration too. And then the last one, exposure to others who have died by suicide. And then I think with that kind of also ties in the social media, what we're being fed there too.
Right. I think too, a thing to keep in mind is gender plays a role also in this. Males often kill themselves more often than females, but females attempt more often than males. And I think that's important for us to know. And also age. For the past year and a half, 2 years, I've really felt like we really need to be addressing the older people in our community, because we tend to think, oh, they've lived their life, they're good. Right. But there's a lot of this that sets in with our elderly people in our community. Certainly adolescents and older adults are more at risk for suicidal behaviors and attempting it. Also, if they've had a previous attempt, like Anthony said, that's very important for us. That's a real risk factor. And if they have an organized plan, if they've got a way about that they're going to go ahead and do it, they've already kind of planned for that, that's an indication that we need to help. We need to step in.
You know, and I think what is most important as people are listening, you know, maybe they've talked with someone that does state, you know, I don't really have anything to live for. And I have considered suicide. And I think, you know, if we're in that situation, I think people want to know, how do they approach someone who may be having a very difficult time, and you really believe that they might in their life? You know, what is it that they should say? What should they do? Let's give them some help here.
Definitely.
This is like the critical piece.
Yes. I think Patty would agree with me that the number one thing is being direct and transparent.
Right. Being yourself and actually being caring. I think that's a huge way to approach somebody, is that you really do are very concerned about them and willing to help them. Not everybody may be as comfortable talking about it as others. You know, sometimes as social workers, we're probably more comfortable because we've been trained to really know how to approach people and talk to people. But even if you don't, you're not comfortable with it, just being a caring person to say, hey, I'm concerned about you. I see that you're struggling. Is there something I can do to help? Even a warm handoff to a great social worker like Anthony to help that person is wonderful. I mean, that way, if I'm not comfortable with it, I can take them to Anthony and say, can you see my friend, or can you see my loved one? Really asking the person without dread. Another thing to keep in mind is don't express our own negative judgments about it, because sometimes we can fall into that where we're talking like, well, you know, if you do this, guess what? Keeping that out of the play, appear confident, because that's reassuring to that person that's having those thoughts. Not be rattled yourself if they say that I'm feeling suicidal.
Right.
That's a difficult conversation to have. Very difficult conversation to have, especially if you're having it with a family member.
Right.
So, yeah, just being the person that you are and being genuine and concerned and caring goes a long way for people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anything to add there, Anthony?
I think Patty did a great job explaining it there. The largest thing is, you know, being that caring, compassionate person.
You know, and you just have to be able to ask the question, and really just asking them straight out directly, like you said, Anthony, are you suicidal? Are you thinking about killing yourself? The thing that you have to prepare yourself for is they can come back and say no, or they can come back and say yes. So you then, at that point, you have a decision to make.
Right.
If the person is actively suicidal, I can't leave that person alone until I get other help there.
Yep.
So you have some options. You can call 911. You can call the mobile crisis team. You can call their parent, their girlfriend, their boyfriend, whoever, to come be with you and to help that person at that moment. But you should never leave an actively suicidal person alone.
Correct.
Yeah.
Great, great tip. And that just rolls into the importance of getting those resources out to people, to know that there are several resources available. And like you said, Patty, there's help from therapists right here in Webster City, within Hamilton County. But let's talk about some of the important resources that are available just to offer to anyone who may be in this position thinking about taking their life, whether it's for themselves or it is for someone. Say they have a conversation with someone and have found that this really is something that this person is considering. What's the information we can share?
Right. I mean, of course, the number one is if life is at stake, that we should call 911. Mm-hmm. And or we could also call the mobile crisis line, which I did bring that around just for us to go over. Mobile crisis, 24-hour crisis line for us to be able to contact. It's 100% free. So they'll maybe first talk with you over the phone, and then, you know, they may call professionals to come to your home and work with you, try to de-escalate the situation, see what's really going on. How can they be a support mm-hmm. to you? If it were to be necessary that they feel you do need to go to the hospital, they can transport you by private car to the hospital, and they continue to stay there right beside you. So you have that compassionate support, as we were previously talking about. Or they de-escalate you to the point that everything is fine. But there's that continued case management, too.
Yeah, they make a safety plan with you, and then they will follow up the next day with you and continue to follow you for up to 30 days if you need them to follow you up to 30 days and really resource you out to places in the community that can give you that extra help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the number, of course, is all around town on picket signs, mm-hmm. on banners. But just in case you don't have it, it's 888-581-8111. So, and once again, that's the mobile crisis line here, available for Hamilton County residents.
Right.
But you serve more than just Hamilton County.
We do. County. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 15 counties in our mental health region that have banners, have yard signs up.
I should know. I have one. I think I'm the only one in Duncan.
Well, good for you,
Pat. Excellent, Pat. Yes.
The other thing, too, is that there's lots of national hotlines mm-hmm. that they can call. And one of the things that I do have just in my phone and my contacts is the National Suicide Hotline, because if I'm working with somebody and they're feeling suicidal, I don't have all the answers. I mean, I just don't. And so a lot of times if I'm working with somebody and I may need to have something answered that I can't, I'm going to call with that person, that hotline, and say, hey, mm-hmm. I'm working with Anthony here, and we're really struggling, and we don't quite know what to do. And they're trained to help us through that process. Right. So the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-TALK, and that's 8255, the last four digits. There's lots of things that we can access. I do have to say that a couple years, it's been about 2 years now, that we were having a run on suicides in Hamilton County, mm-hmm. and St. Thomas Aquinas Church contacted me. They had some money that they wanted to donate to getting awareness out there, and that birthed the mm-hmm. yard signs and that kind of thing in our community, and now it's in 15 different counties in our region, because we really want people to know you do not have to be alone in this, and you don't have to struggle alone, because it is in our community, whether we want to believe it or not.
Right.
It's in our community. A very dear friend of ours completed suicide a couple years ago. I just ran into his mom the other day, and my first reaction was like, I'm just not going to make eye contact, because it's just such a hard deal. But I just went over and I just put my arm around her shoulder and just said, I just think about you every day. And it was such a relief for her to be able to say, yeah, it's been hard, but we're managing. So there is help out there. Please don't go it alone.
Great. You know, that's just a wonderful point, I think, to end on. That's what we want to stress to everyone, is there is help. Mm-hmm. There is support available. We need to be talking about this as a community and supporting each other. And I want to thank both you, Patty, and Anthony for being on the program today to talk about this. And I do want to share that National Suicide Prevention Hotline. I think that's a great idea, Patty, for people to have it in their phones. It is 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. So again, thank you so much for the work that you do and for sharing this most important information today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, Patty, Anthony, and Lori, we'll look forward to another great show next week.
Sounds good. Thank you, Pat.
And that does it for Focus on Health, brought to you every Wednesday at this time by Van Deese Medical Center. I stress now more than ever, their focus is you. I'm Pat Powers.